waiting on the promise of the Lord. All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost came like a mighty rushing wind. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And in the room they were sealed. Baptized with Jesus. Peter got up and started preaching. Repent and be baptized. He told everybody to do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Baptized with Jesus.
Baptized
with
Jesus.
With the Holy Ghost.
With the Holy Ghost.
I shall have power.
I shall have power.
Your word said so.
Your word said so.
Satan is busy.
Satan.
Turn me around.
Try to turn me around.
But I'm determined.
I'm
Well, I love what I feel in the house of the Lord tonight. Let's clap our hands unto Him and bless His name. What an awesome God and how wonderful. Well, do you have a little something left? Well, good. Praise God. Isn't God good? I love spontaneous prayer meetings. Love it when the presence of God just drops in on us. We make our way together into the Holy of Holies. And look, in a service like tonight, you can't tell what's happening all across this city. What's happening in lives and in places of intercession. There is absolutely no telling what's happening in this house tonight. And where your prayers have gone, and who has been the recipient of the power of God. We're going to work a little bit tonight in Daniel chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5 is the story of Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And he makes a fatal mistake. Let's just, for text sake, take verses 1 through 4. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before 1,000. And Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. And then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. And they drank wine and praised the gods of gold and silver and brass and iron and wood and stone. And in that same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Why don't we give Him praise and thanks for His word that is forever settled in the heavens tonight. No, let's give Him high praise for His word. A shout, a riotous praise for His word. Mighty God, how wonderful it is that we get to handle Your word in this place tonight. Hallelujah. 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 Tell me now, is it as good as they told you? Or can you say like Sheba, the half had not been told me? Praise God. Is anybody glad for the journey thus far? Is anybody glad for what the Holy Ghost has meant? And how God has laid His hand on your home, in your life, in your family? Is anybody glad when you think about where you could have been and where you are tonight? And how the story could have been written, but God stepped in and God made the difference in your life. Ah, hallelujah. They wonder why we shout. They wonder why we sing. They wonder why we praise. But my God, if anybody has to wonder about that, what I wonder about is how much they've tasted of the goodness of God. How can you have the Holy Ghost and not shout? How can you know the power of His name and not get ecstatic about it? How can you know that your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life and not get beside yourself? I love our elders and the testimony that they've left. Elder and sister Mangan had built a phenomenal apostolic church in a tiny town in northern central Louisiana. And they're old now. They're in their 80s now. And they've knocked every door in that city of Alexandria multiple times. And Sister Mangan's been used powerfully in preaching in pulpits all over the country and all over the world. And they're known for prayer. And they're known for the strength of their testimony and for the gospel. And I just love the stories. I just love what God is doing. I love the story about one night he woke up and he heard something in the bedroom. And he didn't know. It sounded like laundry flapping in the breeze. He didn't know what it was. And he turned and looked, and Sister Mang was over on the side of the bed just shouting, just worshiping. They're in their 60s. She's just over there in the middle of the night, 2 or 3 in the morning, just shouting. And he said, "You know what I did? I got up and I started shouting on my side of the bed. I started having myself a time on my side of the room." Now, I've just got to tell you, where I was raised and how I was raised, they do not understand that. And there's no need trying to explain to them about that effective type of experience with God. But I'm in a house tonight where people understand that God moves on you in the church house. But God can move on you in your house. And that the Spirit of God is a spiritual experience for all seasons. And sometimes it's just joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, praise God. Belshazzar's dad was named Nabonidus, and he was out of this picture for some reason. We don't get any mention of him. We just simply get the fact that Belshazzar is standing in as king, but he wasn't really king during this time period. And so he's there and they're having a big party for 1,000 of his lords and his principals there in the city of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar's been dead for about 30 years at this time, and Daniel's still captive in the land, but Daniel's been kind of out of the loop now because Nebuchadnezzar used him, but the Belshazzar and his dad haven't made much use of the prophet Daniel, haven't had much need for him. And in the middle of this drunken party, they want to jazz things up a little bit. They want to get a little more extravagant in their party. And so he says, "I know what to do. Go down to the treasure house. There in that treasure house are some extremely exquisite goblets of gold that my grandfather stole from the city of Jerusalem, from the temple of their most high God. Go get them, and we're going to drink out of those things tonight." And so the golden vessels, everybody say the holy vessels, because these were holy vessels. And he drinks out of the holy vessels. And while they were drinking, they drank wine and praised the gods of gold, silver, and brass, and iron, and wood, and stone. And in that same hour, a man's hand began to write on the wall. And the words that were written on the wall were "Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin." Or in verse 25, you can see that and take your own best shot at that. But that's what was written, and none of the astrologers and none of the wise men could say what the interpretation of that was. But the king's mother, here she's called the queen. Belshazzar's mother came and said, "There was a man of great wisdom and insight that served your father Nebuchadnezzar. And if you'll get him, he will be able to tell you the meaning of this." And they went, and it's 30 years since the last chapter when Daniel was talking to Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel walks into the king's palace, and he's confident and he's still strong in the things of God. And he gives them the interpretation of what has transpired here. And we can start in verse 17. "Then Daniel answered and said to the king. Let thy gifts be to thyself. Belshazzar had offered him a robe and a golden necklace and a position of being third in power of all of Babylon. He said, look, you keep your gifts. Let the gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king. And he says, now here is what has taken place. You, O king, the Most High God, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, majesty and glory and honor. For all the majesty that he gave him, all people and nations and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would slew, and whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, and whom he would he set up, and whom he would he put down. God gave him complete authority and power. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind was hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. Now, this is what we talked about this morning, when he was driven out into the wilderness and lived like an animal for 7 years. And verse 21 talks about that event. And verse 22, and you, his son, Belshazzar, you have not humbled your heart, even though you knew all of this. You watched, you were there, you knew that Nebuchadnezzar had been taken down by God and humbled by God and driven into the wild and lived like an animal for 7 years. Verse 23, but you've lifted up yourself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before you, and you and your lords and your wives and your concubines have drunk wine in them, and you have praised the gods of silver and gold and brass and iron and wood and stone, which see not nor hear nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. You've been worshiping with holy things, things that don't have any power at all, and you've neglected those that God that holds your breath in his hand. And he said, then was the part of the hand sent from him, this God I'm talking about, and this writing was written. In verse 25, it gives you the writing. Verse 26, he says, now here's the interpretation. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. And he duplicates that. Mene, God has numbered your kingdom and finished it. He said, as of tonight, you're done. You're over with. It's finished. Verse 27, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. God has weighed you and measured you in his scale, and you don't measure up. And Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And then the king, so glad to have an interpretation, and by his word in public, he gives him every reward that he had promised him. He gave him the cloth of scarlet and the chain of gold on his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. But in that night, verse 30, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom. This is where the Persians overrun Babylon. It happens on this night. I don't know how long they had been lying in wait, but this is not a coincidental thing. The catalyst for the victory of the Persians was when that young king took that holy thing in his hand and began to worship the gods of the Babylonians and the gods of stone and the gods of wood and the gods of gold, and he neglected to give glory to the God of heaven. And that night he lost his life, and that night he lost his kingdom, and that night there was a seismic shift in the geopolitical military structure of the whole Middle East. And now you're in for a long period of time that is ruled by the Medes and the Persians. And that will be the case until Alexander comes and defeats the Persian army. It happened on a night when a pagan king took liberty with holy things. Everybody say holy things. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, don't play with holy things. Praise God. He sent to the temple and he got something that he really didn't understand. Something that had been set apart for the exclusive use of God. It was holy. Something that had been made by the specifications of the Word of God. It was holy. Something that had stood in the holy place and in the sanctuary in the presence of God. And those very vessels themselves were inundated with the presence of God, and they were holy. But that pagan had no idea what he was doing, but he was playing with holy things. The prophet Daniel tells him, you knew Nebuchadnezzar's story. You failed to glorify God. So tonight you're weighed in the balances and found wanting. You're numbered and you're finished and your kingdom is divided. And that night he dies at the hands of the Persians. Everybody say praise the Lord. He's caught up in the world's party. He's caught up in his pagan activity. And he uses God's holy things to worship things that don't glorify God. God is holy. God's people are holy. The things are God of God among us. They are holy. His word is holy. Your worship is holy. Your children are holy. Our interaction, our fellowship is holy. Because we structure it by the specifications of the Word of God. And it is overshadowed by the presence of God. And it's holy. Somebody say, praise the Lord for holiness. Touch your neighbor and say, I want to praise the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Turn to somebody by you and tell them, be ye holy, for God is holy. Turn to someone else and tell them, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. There are churches in this city with holiness over the doors, but they've lost touch with what that means anymore. There are places in this city where they used to walk by the word of God in holiness, but they've long since sold out to Hollywood and to the ways of the pagans around them. And they've created a generation that no longer recognizes the holy. They've got it somewhere off in a storehouse, somewhere off in a treasure house of memories, but it's not an active, vibrant part of their life. But they've lived to walk in a way that now is no longer commensurate. They don't have the right to handle the holy anymore. My God. We have children here that are raised up in the kingdom of God. And they're filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're baptized in Jesus' name. And they're holy before the Lord. If you would, they are holy vessels. Our text this morning was, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We are vessels for the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you are not your own, but you've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are the Lord's. Praise God. Touch somebody and tell them you're a holy vessel unto God. How many of you have the Holy Ghost? My God, then you're a vessel filled up with the Holy Ghost of God. That makes you a holy vessel. No, you need to get this. Because as the pagans are pulling on you, and as the mantra of the world is being piped into your mind, and as the drumbeat of paganism and hedonism is beating on your job and in your school, you need to walk with the memory of the fact. You need to remember this, that I am born of the kingdom of God, and I am holy before God, not because of my own righteousness, not because of my strength, not because of my goodness, but God has imputed holiness unto me. Now I can't walk just like I want to walk. I can't go just anywhere I want to go. I can't live just any way I want to live, because I've got holy things in my life. And I've got to be careful with those things that are holy. Because friend, you don't play with things that are holy. You don't play with things that are holy. Somebody say, don't play with the holy. Praise God. The world's got wine just like it had wine in the days of Belshazzar. The world's got false gods just like it had false gods in the days of Belshazzar. And it is not the will of God that you would take your holy experience, or our children who are holy, or our young people who are holy, or your marriage which is holy, or your experience which is holy, and that you would take it out and bring it to the world's party and fill your life with the world's wine and be used in a forum where those gods are being worshipped. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Can't go there because I've got a mandate for holiness. I can't do that because I've got a mandate for holiness. You see, tonight, what happened? You know what happened tonight in this time of prayer? We began to walk through the corridors of the Holy of Holies. We began to move through the process of God for our day. And we moved into the spiritual Holy of Holies. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't take all the money in the world for what we felt in this house tonight. I wouldn't take all the applause of the world for what I felt in the house tonight. There is nothing the world has that they could offer me for this one prayer meeting that we had tonight. Afterwards, I felt kind of like just leaning up against something for a while. Say, what? I don't know how you respond or how you react to that, but I just get kind of mellow. I could just lay out in the floor in a service like this, and I don't know if you'd understand it or not. But I could just do that for a long time. That's right. Praise God. How does it affect you? Mellow. She's mellow. I'm too mellow. How does it move on you? It makes me happy. Makes me feel peaceful. Makes me know it's just like a great big old divine embrace, and it makes me feel so safe and secure. It makes me feel good about everything. I don't care about the prophecies. I don't care about the nukes. I don't care about the Iranians. I don't care about the trouble. I don't care if Abdul and his buddies are coming across the Mexican borders. I don't care if there's a suitcase nuke in Chicago. I just don't care about any of it, because I'm in the presence of the Most High God, and I feel pretty good about everything. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a privilege to walk into the Holy of Holies. And you want me to do what? You want me to compromise what he's done for me? You want me to compromise the blood of Calvary? You want me to compromise the precious Holy Ghost? You want me to step across the Word of God and come to your party where you're defiling holy things? Give your neighbor a high five and say, I'm not going to the world's party. I'm not drinking the world's wine. I'm just drinking the new wine. I got everything I need right here in the kingdom of God. I'm not attracted. I'm not tempted. I'm not interested. I don't want to play footsie with the world. I'm glad for what God's done and what he's doing. Can somebody say amen? Holy things. Holy things. You play with holy things, you lose those things. And you can lose more than that. You don't play. We're serious about holy things. We're serious about it. We're serious about it. I'm not going to join in your filthy joke. I'm not going to join in your suggestive innuendo. I've already drawn a line. I'm trying to live over here where I can make my way every day into the Holy of Holies. And that junk can't go in. That junk has to die out at the altar of sacrifice. No, I don't want to go to the movies with you. No, I don't want to watch your television with you. No, I don't want to celebrate the world with you. Oh, come on. Am I in a Holy Ghost church or what? Not going to sit my Holy Ghost down in front of something that preaches corruption and worships the God of gold and silver and idols that don't know God. Because I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. I've got a vessel of God. I've got to handle it carefully. It was made for the presence of God. It wasn't made for the gods of the world. It was made for the new wine. It wasn't made for their wine. Listen, I've had all their wine that I can stand. Praise God. He said, you lifted up yourself against the God of heaven. I could make a list tonight of families. We've been doing this 21 years in Birmingham. I could make a list tonight of families that I've watched come in the front door of a storefront in Leeds, of a little shotgun building over here on Highway 11, of this little red building when we first got into that and we're so excited because it was a real church. And in this house, young couples with little kids, all fixed up with Bibles under their arms, coming into a celebration of holy things, coming into the house of God. They call me every now and then now. They show up for church every now and then. Maybe they're kids, maybe they're grandkids. And they've got this lost look in their eyes. And they've got this brokenness about their spirit. And they come every now and then. And sometimes they'll weep at an altar. And sometimes they'll sit here among you. But they can't quite find their way back. Because people started playing with holy things. They said, you know what? You know what? All these rules around this church, all this structure, we don't need that. I want my kids to be able to enjoy their life. Well, they're enjoying it now, my friend. They're enjoying it now. I've been down to the hospital with you. I've got your midnight calls. I've heard your crisis. I've heard your nightmares. Your life is a nightmare now. And it's because you took it on yourself to play with holy things. And you didn't understand what you had. My God, sometimes it's so nice around here. And sometimes it seems so easy to achieve these things. Do you know how difficult it is to achieve a vibrant worship? God-fearing, Holy Ghost, holiness, church. Do you know what you've got here? Do you know what you're bringing your children to here? Do you know what went on in that Sunday school building this morning? Do you realize and do you understand how valuable it is, how hard it is to acquire, and how easy it is to lose? We don't play with the holy. The children love it. They don't understand it. But we're dead serious about it. I'm dead serious about the holy. I'm dead serious about the holy things of God. No, I'll tell you right now, no, you can't have our little holy vessels. You can't have them for your drunken party. You can't have them for the worship of your God. I'll just tell you right now, there's a Levite at the door with a sword in his hand in every house and in the house of God. We've drawn a line and we understand some things are worth fighting for. And some things are worth dying for. My God, I defy any devil to come in this house and lay claim to little children. I defy any man to... We're not going to change the message. We're not going to change the walk. We're not going to change the word. Because these are holy things. Now you know I'm not political organizational, and I'm just going to mention this once, and a lot of you won't even understand what I'm talking about, but I'm going to tell you this. I sat with my pastor this past week in Sacramento, California. I sat with him, and he said, Brother Barry, he said, I didn't leave the United Pentecostal Church. They left me. He's the same man that preaches the same message that I got the Holy Ghost under in 1974. But I'll just tell you, folks, if I had a call tonight from somebody in Baton Rouge that wanted to go to the house of God, I wouldn't know where to send them. A few months ago, we had a man stand right here weeping and saying, this is so beautiful. This is so wonderful. He said, you don't understand. You don't understand what you have here. You don't understand what God's doing here. He said, there's nothing like this in the city that I live in Louisiana. He said, I would drive miles and miles to find this, but it's not there. Because they began to have a fascination with sports. And this fascination with sports led them into a fascination with sporting events. And fascination with sporting events led them into a fascination with television. And television led them into a fascination with all kinds of carnal things. And now you can't get a group of people together on a Sunday night to worship God. Playing with holy things. Taking a step in a direction you don't know where it's going to lead you. You don't know where the end game is. You don't know what it's going to cost you. You just think you're going to have a little party and drink a little wine and hang out with your friends. But you don't understand. You're compromising something holy. And for this king, in one night, he lost everything. Generally, it's a process of gradualism. But friend of mine, you never want to start on that slippery slope. You want to stand firm. If anything, you want to get more conservative than you've ever been. If anything, you want to step up to a higher level. Somebody say amen. Anybody in the house love holiness? If you don't, it's because you don't understand it. Holiness in its essence is not rules and regulations. Holiness is a relationship with God. My relationship with God precludes certain behaviors. That's holiness. My relationship with God imposes certain godly expectations on me. That is holiness. But it's all relationship based. And I'm like the Old Testament character that has worked out his indentured servitude. I'm done. I owed you a debt. I've worked it off. Now I'm free to leave because I put in the time. But I've come to love the master's house. And I've come to love the people. And I've come to love the master. And so here, let me put my ear against the doorpost. And they would take an awl and they would run an awl through the ear. And it signified, this person is no longer indentured. He is not a slave by bondage or by financial contract. But he's a slave by love. He has said, I'm going to live here and I'm going to do everything you want me to do. But it's because I love you so much. And that man in the Old Testament script is a type of the New Testament saint, where a blue fringe on the bottom of our robes, let's do it. Sleeves down to here, let's do it. Give up my Daisy Dukes, let's do it. Praise God. Brother Warren, I'm just glad they let me in. I'm just glad they let me in. I didn't understand at first, but now I've raised my children in it. And now my wife and I have been doing this for 35 years. And my God, looking back over my shoulder, I wouldn't take anything for the journey now. I wouldn't take anything for the places we've gone, the mountains that we've walked on with God, and the valleys that we've made our way through. My God, God's been good to us. And I love the holy things. Praise God. I wanted to let you go by now. I've gotten beside myself. Esau had a promise, but he was so caught up in his world that the holy promise of God didn't mean anything to him. So by the time the New Testament gets there, he's at the top of the most wanted list. The writer of Hebrews said, a profane person such as Esau, who sold his birthright for one morsel of bread. And you know that how afterwards he would have repented. He found no place of repentance, even though he sought it carefully with tears. You can lose things by a casual attitude toward the holy things of God. You can lose things that you can't get back. Nadab and Abihu served their father Aaron in the building and in the construction of the tabernacle. And when Moses and Aaron had finished the construction, and the very first day that they offered up sacrifice, they had just gotten down off that altar and they went into the sanctuary, and the presence of God came out with them, and fire came out from the presence of God and burned up the sacrifice on the altar of sacrifice, and all the people shouted and fell on their faces. That was the end, I guess, of the 10th chapter in Leviticus and the first verse of chapter 11. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, went into the sanctuary and they lit a strange fire before the Lord. You see, God said, I gave you fire, and the fire off that altar of sacrifice has to be the fuel for the fire for your incense, because your incense is your worship and your prayer, and your worship and your prayer has to have the fire of sacrifice connected to it, or it's not viable in the presence of God. And those boys, it was a long way out there to that altar. And you got to pull up that grate and you got to fool with all that stuff. Oh, Nadab, let's just, you got your bick. And they lit the incense with what the Bible says was strange fire. You see, this whole process was holy before God. And every piece of it and the adherence to it was holy before God. And they lit a strange fire. And God sent fire out of his presence and killed them right on the spot. In a moment of time, they lost everything because they were casual about the holy, about something that was holy. He told Aaron, he said, don't weep for them. Don't mourn. But they're my sons. Drag their bodies outside the tent. Nobody mourns for these boys. Don't bury them. Don't have a service. I'm making a point here. They don't understand and they don't handle carefully things that are holy before God. Praise God. Praise God. Holy things. Holy things. My God, you young people, it is so wonderful to see you worship and see you pray for one another and see you yield yourselves to God. Walk this in the process of God. Love these things that we're doing. Don't get casual about these things. Don't sit in church with a cell phone and text Sally. Don't sit in church and share pictures on your cell phone. Don't you understand you're modern day Nadab and Abihu, and you're going to lose every precious thing that God has for you? Praise God. You taking notes? Dear Sally. I'll sit on the front row with my notebook. He'll think I'm taking notes. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. Love holy things. Young people, love holy things. Love the presence of God. Lose yourself in it. Love the altar. It's holy before God. Love the worship. It's holy before God. Don't let anybody make fun or ridicule or diminish or marginalize these things that are holy and have always been a fixture among the people of God and the Word of God. Ahab and Jezebel both died in the same spot where Naboth died. They said, Naboth, your vineyard is right here off the wall of the palace, and we need a little garden. And you've got a beautiful garden here. Look, we'll give you any place in the kingdom you want, and we'll give you a lot more than it's worth. We're going to give you all the money you'll ever need, but we'd like this. But Naboth said, this is my inheritance. It's holy before God. I couldn't sell it to you for all the money in Israel. It's not mine to sell. And I wouldn't sell it to you for all the money in Israel. Because it's my inheritance. My God, we're standing in the middle of an Abrahamic inheritance tonight. I can hear the Ellis kids singing. It's my inheritance. It's my inheritance. I'm a child of Abraham. Praise God. Naboth said no. Ahab went pouting into Jezebel, and Jezebel said, what's wrong, honey? And he said, Naboth won't sell me his vineyard. She said, we'll take care of him. And they had a hit out on him, and they took his life, and they got his vineyard. But the prophet came in, and he was telling them more or less, you've touched something that was holy before God. Naboth stood for the holy, and he was right. There are some things worth dying for. Listen to me. There are some things worth fighting for. I don't care about the inexorable flow of the world away from the Word of God. I don't care about the modernist, non-biblical church world that's moving away from the Word of God. I've got my mind made up. I've got my heart fixed tonight. It's my inheritance. I was born into a holiness church. My God, as long as I'm in this pulpit, this is going to be a holiness church. We don't have a board. We kind of have a board. We got kind of a trustee board. Let's have a board meeting. Where's Brother Butch? Come here, Brother Butch. Come here, Brother Mike. Is Brother Jerry in the house? Okay, we're having a board meeting. When is the last time we had a business meeting? Long time ago. But we meet all the time. Answer that phone. Tell them come to church. And by the way, your ringtone doesn't need to be some worldly. Dun, 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 dun. Play that funky music, white boy. If you don't have godly music on that telephone, get rid of it. Get rid of it. You don't. What are you? You're playing with that stuff. You think it's cute. I'm dead serious right now. You don't need to play with that stuff. Mom and dad, if your babies have internet on their telephone, you need to have a filter on that. Or you need to have control of that. If you've got a computer in your home, you need a filter on that. Or you need control of that. It doesn't need to be in their room where they're unsupervised. Don't you know every demon from hell can come up out of that electronic media and into the life of your child? You're playing with holy things. Praise God. Hey, let's have a meeting. You ready?
Amen.
All right. Okay, how do we do this now? One for all and all for one. How do we do that? And we do our special meeting. We have our secret handshake. And we even have a special trustee dance. Now, they're going to do that for you now. We have. Well, that's how you build institutions. You have. No. These are fine men. And they represent you. When we do have a business meeting, you're looking at it. You're looking at it. And we vote. So, you want to have a holiness church? You want to throw me out. You want to have a holiness church? You want to throw me out.
Absolutely holiness.
You want to have a... You got Baptist beginnings.
No compromise.
You're an old barroom hopper with steel guitars. Wow, 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 wow. Wow, 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 wow. I can hear it. I can hear it. This is probably the only studio class musician we have in the house, by the way. No offense to any of our other musicians. It's just, if you got it. So, are your Baptist roots offended by all this holiness stuff?
I'm holy because God said be holy.
Huh? All right. Well, I'll just tell you this. I'll just tell you this. You've heard about those business meetings they have at churches and they get into fist fights? No, well, hey, we're into something here. You got some more stories to tell? Well, I was just going to say, if you ever change your mind, and if you ever decide that holiness is not what we need to do, and if you ever want to be like the non-biblical quasi, we will have a fist fight right here. Because I'm going to put you not only out of this board, I'll probably put you out of this church for trying to... I'll be like old Brother Gamlin. We'll be ready to go right now. There are some... You say you wouldn't do that. Oh, you don't know. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about compromise. I don't want to hear about lowering the standard. I don't want to hear about making it more palatable for the world. Somebody ought to shout about holiness right now. Your worship is holy. Your shout is holy. Your praise is holy. Help me, Lindsay. Oh, come on down around the altar tonight. Praise God. Sister Tynese, you're new to this. You're pretty new to this. It's a complicated thing getting involved with the Holiness Church. It is. So how are you feeling about it? She's feeling great about it. You loving it? It's exciting to you? My God. She loves the holiness. Praise God. When you get down here in the altar, shake somebody's hand and say, I'm glad to be a one God, tongue talking, holy roller, heaven bound, Jesus name, how mighty God. Listen. It takes me weeks to teach holiness in the Bible study. We can't touch it all tonight, but there's a spirit of affinity with the Word of God. Praise God. When Jehoshaphat sent the choir, the Bible said they praised him in the beauty of holiness. Why don't you just lift up some praise and thanks unto God right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Show us how to walk, oh God. Show us how to live, oh God. The words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts. Lead us into it, oh God. Cause us, God, to have a deep love and regard for the things that you love. Hallelujah. 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 Now they say, that if you don't make your message conformable to your day, relevant to your culture, that you lose all your young people. But I want every young person that loves the Word of God and the holiness of God, I want you to come up on this platform right now and just begin to worship God. Don't come just because everybody else is coming, but come because you love the holy Word of God and you love holiness and you love the experience of the Holy Ghost, and you plan on living it, and you plan on preaching it, and you plan on witnessing for it. My God, why don't you just lift up your hand and begin to tell it, God, I love your holy ways. God, I love your definitions. I love your word. I love being separate and apart for your name's sake. I love you. I love you, God. Love holiness. Begin to shout with a voice, dedication and commitment unto God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Holy. God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb. That's what the angels are singing. They're singing holy. They're singing holy. They're singing holy. Hallelujah. Holy Lord God Almighty. Before we go tonight, lay your hand on somebody behind you and pray an anointing and a blessing on them. The prayers of God's people are holy. You're a holy vessel before God. Your blood bought. Your spirit filled. You're made by the Word of God. Take them down, and while they're really little, you need to start piercing their ears and start putting a little makeup on them and start entering them in dog shows. No, you got them in just the right place, down in the altar of God. Bring them to the holy place of God. Love the holy things of God. Praise God. Praise God. Man, God is so good to us. Don't you just love what He's doing? Church in North Little Rock, and the base of the steeple is about the size of this sanctuary, and it's a holiness church. There's a church in Sacramento, California tonight, and they'll probably have 2,000 people in the house tonight. Our whole building would fit from the back of their platform to the first two rows. It's a holiness church. And in either of those sanctuaries, If you would stand there in the altar service just like you're standing right now, you'd feel the same thing moving and flowing, the same presence, refreshing, moving in that place that you feel right here, right now. Praise God. Praise God. You know what? In the end times, there's going to be a revival of the Holy Ghost, for in the last days, saith God, I'll pour it in my spirit. There's going to be a revival of the power of the name of Jesus. And there's a lot of Trinitarians going down in the water in Jesus' name right now. I mean, it's happening all over the world right now. Whole organizations are turning, coming to the name of Jesus. But along with that, you know what happens? A rediscovery and a fascination for things holy. Just want to draw closer to Him. Distance from the world and proximity to God. I want to get closer to God. God bless you. I love you. I love pastoring this church. So glad to be involved with what God's doing here. Once more, why don't we clap our hands unto Him and bless His name. Praise God.